Sean.
And I'm Carrie. Sean's an ex-cop who does happier things now.
That's for sure. And Carrie's a New York Times and internationally best-selling children's book novelist. We live in Down East Maine, and our podcast is a little funky. We start off with a random thought we recorded in bed, or the kitchen, or the car, and then we give a writing tip and a dog tip for life because our dogs are wise and smart and like to be included.
We're not hoity-toity. We're not all trash talk, although we try. We're just us. So thanks for joining us. Please like, subscribe, and be cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and dogs are smarter than people. And we begin with a random thought.
Let's do it, baby.
Now. Hey, it's random thought on the couch time. What?
I said all we're going to hear is Gabby panting in her ear.
She's so good at panting. She's so good. Hey, I was just reading this thing.
Yeah.
And it said that all best... Sean.
What?
Don't put Netflix on yet. We're doing random thought.
I know.
Sean's
I was just getting it ready.
Primed.
For your cinematic experience.
Anyways... I was reading this book by this guy named James W. Hall. Yeah. You know he's important because he has a middle initial.
Right.
And it's called Cracking the Code of the 20th Century's Biggest Bestsellers.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah? It's not hit, right?
Dude, where'd you going? Oh, Sean's trying to get Gabby to move, but she's not moving. Anyways, in the book that I was reading, I haven't gotten very far into. It said that something about fear and pity.
Yeah.
That's Gabby licking her jowls, not us. And anyways, fear and pity are what makes us care about the characters.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, you're worried about what's going to happen to them, and you feel badly for them.
Huh.
Like the sheriff in Jaws, you're like, ah, crud, that guy's going to die on that boat.
Right.
That great white shark's going to eat him.
Right.
Or like, Stella. Oh, that's so mean. Stella. No, what's the name? Scarlett O'Hara. Her name's not Stella. Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind, which is one of the top bestsellers in the whole world.
Yeah.
In the last century.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I pity that fool who's all like, Ashley, Ashley, Ashley. And you're worried what's going to happen to her because it's a freaking civil war and she's got all her hopes pined on this one guy who's like engaged to somebody else.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
Or like, all of her eggs in that old crappy basket.
Yeah, man. Ashley. It's not even a manly name. Well, it's long. Anyway, and then there's like, what's the book you've read? Harry Potter. Harry Potter. It's a long book.
I'm not going to go off on that rabbit trail, but anyway.
No, I don't think it would pass by modern standards. I think it's too long. But moving on, like Harry Potter, you've read that book, right? The first one. You've read all of them?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, that's a lot of long. Anyways, in Harry Potter, you fear what's going to happen to Harry. Is he going to get killed by Voldemort, the evil wizard with no name? And you pity him because he's got no parents.
Right.
He's got that horrible, horrible home life with the Dursleys, right?
Right.
So it's true. You fear for the main character and you pity them.
Yeah.
And then I was like, how does that translate to real life? Like, you don't want people to pity you.
No. You don't want to fear for you.
I know. They're like, oh, God, Kara's not going to make it through that Rotary Club meeting. I pity her, but right. I also fear for her safety. Like, I mean, you know. Isn't that weird to think about?
Yeah.
Because so often I find, like, writing just easily translate to life lessons. But with the fear and the pity... I don't want that to translate to a life lesson.
Not at all. That dog's being so distracting.
You are not helping in the narrative of this voice memo.
Oh, you know what? I had a good point a second ago, but I forgot what it was. Honest to God.
That doesn't help me, babe. That doesn't help the podcast or our listeners.
Oh, you know what?
What?
We're always helping
them,
love.
I don't think so. Oh, you know how we could be helping them right now?
How?
We could be showing them that it's okay to fail.
That's right.
It's okay to fail, listeners. They're We're failing right it, now.
Not do anything.
They have a pant. Can you hear her?
That's like a quarter speed right there.
Okay, random thought. We are watching Roadhouse, and there was just this huge montage with the now dead Patrick Swayze doing karate or something, or Tai Chi.
Tai Bo, you called it.
But I called it Tai Bo, and Sean will not let me forget it, in the backyard of some place in California that's supposed to be Missouri, but totally looks like California. And Sam Elliott has not shown up yet, and that's the whole reason I'm watching this movie at the end. Okay, random thought time. We just Sean, you burp. You burped in the random. Alright, well, this is what it's like living with Sean. We just watched Roadhouse, and it was my first time. Watching Roadhouse.
Yeah.
I'm a Roadhouse virgin. And Sean's multiple times, apparently.
It was probably third.
It was belch-worthy for the Ferrari. Roadhouse, if you do not know, is a 1989 film starring Patrick Swayze and Kelly Lynch and Sam Elliott and David Keith, I think. Anyways.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Why did we watch that?
Because I heard Sam Elliott was sexy in it.
Oh, who told you that?
Well, when I was driving in the car listening to Wait, Don't Tell Me, Regina King was being interviewed. She's an Oscar-winning actress who's really amazing.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, I have the biggest hots for Sam Elliott because of that movie. Oh, and it's particularly...
And now you do too.
It's particularly the scene where he puts his hair into the ponytail because he's about to kick some butt.
Uh-huh.
That's the scene that got her.
Oh, really? Which one got you?
There was no scene. I just like his voice.
Yeah.
I think Sam Elliott has a nice voice. My other takeaway from this movie is that everyone's pants are way too high in 1989.
I know. And now it's happening again.
And even the underwear was way high. There's a scene where this lady's like stripped down to her white, very, very white, pristine white underwear. And Sean's like, what is that? Is that underwear? What is that? Because it's so high-waisted. But if we take this in the concept of writing and what we were talking about earlier about fear and pity, do we fear for Patrick Swayze or pity for him?
In this movie?
Yeah, man.
Well, I've seen it a few times, so not anymore.
I don't know if I ever did.
I don't think you ever did.
I don't really think I cared. I'm like, yeah, he's fine.
Oh, for him? I thought you would see it. I'm sorry.
No. Like,
are you sure upset when Sam Elliott died?
Yeah, I feared and had pity for Sam Elliott, but I did not for our main character, Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, because you like the older dudes.
No, it's because his backstory about killing the guy or whatever came way too late.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, and he's like set up too early as being like... impenetrable and
really badass.
Yeah, like you can't hurt him.
Yeah.
So I don't ever worry for him.
Yeah.
And like maybe that's the difference other than the acting for the reason and high-waisted jeans for the reason that Roadhouse only became a cult classic versus a best-selling top-grossing movie classic. Because we don't really worry about the Patrick.
Maybe.
His mullet makes it through that entire movie and maintains its Billy Ray Cyrus perfection throughout the whole thing.
Well, that's true. It was pretty rock solid.
It was a rock solid mullet. Honestly, Roadhouse is worth it just for the rock solid mullet. But was the movie believable? That's another good question. Did we believe that movie?
Well... I'm just sitting here comparing it to, what's his name, The Walking Dead?
Oh, Rick.
No, the guy with the bat.
Oh, Negan, honey.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
So, like, why did it take so long for somebody to pull a Patrick Swayze on Negan, basically, is what I'm asking. So, yeah.
And The Walking Dead.
Is way more believable.
You really think it's more believable?
Yeah.
All those naked boobies everywhere?
No, I was talking about, maybe with all the popularity of, I don't know, coke and stuff in the 80s, but I was talking about the violent factor, not...
Also, I'd like to apologize for everyone who's a geek for Sean not knowing Negan's name.
Who?
Oh my god. Oh my gosh. It's so hard to be married to him.
Is it really?
Dude, you haven't watched Lord of the Rings like 8,000 times.
I haven't?
No.
I never will.
Exactly, and that's... And, like, you didn't... You don't know all the doctors in Doctor Who. Do you laugh at that?
Is Dr. Spock?
No.
Dr. Scholl? Dr. Seuss?
That's so wrong. No, nor just Dr. Laura...
Yeah.
Dr. Ruth?
Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Who's the guy at Oz?
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That was a special edition.
Oh, my word. See, this is the tart.
They were co-doctors.
I don't think that geeks should ever marry non-geeks, maybe.
Dr. Jekyll. Actually, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was only one person, so it would work perfectly.
I'm gonna miss
that. That'd be a brilliant episode, by the way, if any BBC people are listening. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is the doctor for a season?
No! Yeah. No, Doctor Who is all about goodness!
Well, now he's only 50% of that good. Writing tip of the pod.
So this podcast is called If UFOs Are Real, Then What the Hell? Heck, almost Helk.
Just a contraction.
Helk, yeah. Anyways, it's called If UFOs Are Real, Then What the Heck Else Is?
Bigfoot.
Roadhouse. And we're finally getting to the subject because our random thoughts are random.
Rambling thoughts.
Yeah. So, if you check out the link to this article in the Huffington Post by Leslie Keen, you'll have some good background on what we're talking about. And that link is in the words that go with the podcast at carriejonesbooks.blog.
Woohoo! But Keen writes about the To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science, which is meant to advance research into unexplained phenomena and develop related technology. One of the players... And that is Luis Elizondo, who worked for the United States Department of Defense.
And in her article, Leslie Keen says, or his, ooh, is Leslie a girl, a boy, or a they?
I don't know.
I don't either. All right. In short, less than 2 weeks after leaving the Pentagon, Luis confirmed that UFOs are a real. I don't know. There's a typo in her article. They exist, and they have been officially documented. Can anyone argue with this fact now, given where this man comes from and what he knows? So this guy...
Yeah.
Who, like...
Works for the Department of Defense.
And other places. Yeah. And he's all super secret. So, yeah, they're real. Duh. Isn't that great?
Sure. But where's the proof, man?
Oh, my goodness. Anyways, but he pretty much said that UFOs are real, and that's a big deal. Why is it a big deal, Sean?
Why is it a big deal? Because if UFOs might be real, what else is? Just like the title of this podcast. Something like that, right? As writers, we're always trying to make sure that our stories are believable. But what if the unbelievable is no longer unbelievable? What happens then? And how do we make the unbelievable believable? The biggest trick is that we have to make the person that the unbelievable things happen to have real reactions, emotions, belief systems, and feelings.
We can believe that someone saw a UFO hovering over the main turnpike if we see that person before it happens, see them react to it in a way that's consistent with their character, and then see them deal with the after effects. I think that's the whole reason why Stephen... that was Sparty flopping on the floor. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the whole reason why Stephen King does so well with the scary, unbelievable things.
Right.
Is because he builds up the characters with these very concrete details ahead of time.
Right.
And then they react exactly how you would expect that character to react to the creepy clown or the vampires or the girl with telekinesis named Carrie, not me.
Yeah, it's just like real life.
Yeah.
Like if you know somebody well, based upon their reaction, you'll make your judgment of whether or not you think they're for real or not. Right?
Yeah.
So if you know the character well already before that possibly unbelievable event happens, then you can pass judgment on that, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, man.
Sweet.
Yeah. But, like, even with you, you're like, oh, well, here's this random guy. I don't know where to prove. Like, who was in head of this super secret Department of Defense portion of an agency coming out and being like, yeah, it's real. And then the Navy released all those videos and then all this other stuff. But you're still like, eh, I don't know. Who is this guy? I don't know. Where's the proof?
Right, because I don't know.
Exactly, because you don't know the details.
All you're giving me for backstory is that he worked for the Department of Defense. But, you know, that doesn't sell the product to me.
Right.
Based on what we just talked
about.
Isn't
that interesting? But if yes. I'm like, you know what, I have this relative, and my relative works for a government agency, and back in, like, 1989, 90... we went through a bunch of museums in D.C. with him, and he was like, and he's very top at this government agency, and I was with my ex-boyfriend at the time, and my mom, and this person's wife, and all these other people were following him around because he had the best stories because he knew all the people in the Air and Space Museum, right? So he was like, Buzz Aldrin, blah, 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 this and blah, 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 blah. And during that whole course of events, he was like, yeah, I have no doubt in my mind that UFOs are real. There's a ton of evidence. And my mom and I were like, oh, really? And my boyfriend was like, cool, cool, cool. Can I see the evidence? Can I see the evidence? And then I had this other lovely friend in high school whose brother worked for the Navy. And he was at the Air Force. And he was at a tracking station in Germany. And that's where he was stationed. And he was like, stuff's going on, man. Stuff's going on. And it freaked his brother out so much that, like, he couldn't even look up into the sky anymore.
Really?
Yeah. And you start believing it a little more when I give you those details, right? Which are true. And why I wrote my book Flying. But don't you kind of like a little bit more?
Because you know, like, the players. I'm your ex-boyfriend. Tell me the evidence. I want to see the evidence.
Yeah, that's just because you're insatiable and curious.
Right.
You believe it a little more. And if you actually met my relative, you'd totally believe it.
Well, that's totally different.
Because my relative is a very calm human being with, like, just... he's impeccable.
That's because I get to draw my own conclusion based on the character.
Right. You could watch him talk about it and say it, right? Because it would make it more believable.
That's right.
But anyways, I'm totally not shocked by any of this.
Oh, I'm not shocked.
You know, the only thing I'm shocked about is my my former... I don't think we've ever talked about that here. Should we talk about it really quickly?
I don't know what you're talking about. Yet.
My former boss was a high-up official in the Mormon church, even though I'm not Mormon. And he also used to be Ronald Reagan's Secret Service agent. And he also was a head of security at Brigham Young. And he had all these conspiracy theories that I totally didn't believe were ever going to come true. You know, it's like the 90s. Mm-hmm. And they've all come true, almost all of them. But he insisted I was abducted by aliens.
Oh.
Because I have a weird bump on my back. And I had the consistent abducted by alien nightmares as a child.
Oh. All right, let's talk about how this fellow knows about your bump on your back.
Because he asked me, he said, do you have any weird bumps anywhere? And I'm like, yeah, I have one right on my spine. He's like, was it always there? I'm like, no, it wasn't always there. And he's like, ah! And he got so excited. Like that. Yeah. No, it wasn't creepy. Why do you make
No, I'm not being creepy. Not at all. You misconstrued that totally.
Oh,
I was being more like, commonplace conspiracy theories. That wasn't being creepy whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't, I promise.
Yeah. So our whole point here is writing tip of the pod. When you have a story that might seem unbelievable, it can eventually seem believable. People didn't always believe that the earth was round, but now most people do. And a long time ago, if you made a story like that, it would be hard to be believed, but now it's just accepted, and UFOs might be like that soon for us.
I'm getting close to the round earth theory acceptance, so I think UFOs is right around the corner for me. But so basically the point is you really got to flesh out your character.
Yeah, make it believable, man.
Before they have anything that is unbelievable happen to them. Dog for life, baby.
I think the dog tip, according to Sparty, would be what, man? It would just be that, you know what? Sometimes your life becomes unbelievable. Like, you might be roaming the streets in Alabama looking for food, scrounging up scraps, right?
Yeah.
Randomly fornicating with all the girl dogs you meet, starving. And then somebody grabs you up because you're cute as heck, and they castrate you, and then they put you in a box. And the box has wheels and makes a lot of noise and music. And they head to Maine. And then you get a new home.
Yeah.
Where you have a leash. You can't just roam around looking for scraps. But they feed them to you. And you're always warm and cuddly and loved. And you learn how to wag your tail. And so your unbelievable thing that you could never even imagine in your doggy brain becomes believable.
That's right. That's for food.
Oh my gosh, I only just got that.
It was a little trade.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if Sparty thinks it was a good trade.
I think he does.
He's a believer in UFOs.
What?
Sparty's a believer in UFOs, he was telling me
earlier. Oh, really?
Yeah, he said, you wouldn't believe the crap I see at night when you guys forget to let me in before bedtime.
That never happens.
The sky is just a buzz with activity. It never happens.
What never happens?
Hey, you can never leave me out all night long.
No.
Of course not. You would never do that. Neither would I.
No.
We couldn't sleep anyways when I'm scratching at the door.
Oh, he's really good at scratching at
the door. He'd rip a hole right through it.
That would be a cool story. We think Sparty's scratching at the door, but it's really an alien dog.
Oh, yeah. Anything. Even just an alien with a long finger. But your point about the dog tip was perfect anyways, because if you know Sparty, you'll know that he didn't have it easy finding food for a while. No, he didn't. Because that freaking guy is food focused.
Yes.
Super duper.
So are we.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
Uh-oh.
There goes Gabby. She's mad. Yay. She didn't get parts of steak. Hey, now that people have blessed us with their time and listened to our podcast, what other little tidbits should we tell them?
Well, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Artist in the song is Night Owl by Broke for Free.
That sounds so 80s. Anyways, it's cool. I like it. Got anything else going on in your world?
All the writing tips are at carriejonesbooks.blog. I just released a book called In the Woods with Steve Waddell. It's creepy. It's a little horrifying, and it's a little romantic.
Ooh,
yeah, cool. And it's the summer buzz book from Publishers Weekly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else?
What else? I have a Patreon.
Oh, yeah. That's.
You can find us on social media.
The Patreon's a great way to read a book that's never been published by you.
Yes.
Only Patreon people get to read it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Subscribers,
man.
I mean.
And you get special content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can get special gifts, too, right?
I do. I send out art.
Carrie Jones paintings, which are all beautiful.
And books sometimes.
Yeah.
Signed.
Signed by me.
Sean.
Just kidding.
What do you want to tell people, honey bunny?
I don't know. Just thank you. Oh, thank you for listening.
Please like and subscribe and share.
Yeah, you said that.
Oh.
At the beginning. But we can say it twice.
Can we say it 87 times so people really do?
They'll probably just shut it off after like the 80th one at least.
Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share. No.
Get out and live your life.
Yes.
No matter what.
The whole point of Dogs Are Smarter Than People in this podcast is to try to make your life a tiny bit better for at least 2 seconds, in which you're like, at least we're not them, buddy. At least we're not them.
That's all. That's a good. People always have that up. At least we're not them. Having fun.